This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Living Islam. Join Maulana Ismail Kamdar every Tuesday, 9:15 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. on Living Islam, only on Radio Al Ansar.
Hayfields 105.6 FM.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing ever changed, can't you see who I am? Just let me be, 'cause like it or not, this God loves me, who I am. He said, she said, they all did.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You listening to Radio Al Ansar on 90.4 FM in the Durban area, 105.6 FM in the Pietermaritzburg area. It is a Tuesday night between 9:30 and 10:30 PM, and that means it is time for Living Islam. I am your host Ismail Kamda, as we go into our second episode for 2016. And for those of y'all who joined us last week, you remember that we started looking at a series of hadith related to personal development. Right, these hadith are taken from my free ebook, 10 self-help tips from 10 authentic hadiths. And this book is available for free from my website, IslamicSelfHelp.com. If you visit the website, you will find it there for free, along with many other books that I am both selling and giving away. And we are following the 10 hadiths in that book and explaining them in details to go into the details of what does Islam actually teach us about living in this world. Alhamdulillah, many of us know the hadiths and the Quranic verses related to deen, related to Islamic studies, related to fiqh, aqidah. We hear this very often, we study this very often. But what many people don't realize is that there is a lot of advice in the Quran, in the hadith, related to living our lives in this world, to business, to trade, to personal development, to growth, to confidence. There are many hadiths and verses of the Quran related to these topics, and these are the topics I've been writing about for the past year in my website, in my books. And so we're going to be looking at these hadiths over the next 9 weeks. Last week we began by looking at a hadith which we very often study from a fiqh or aqidah perspective, and we looked at it from a goal-setting perspective instead. And that is the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, that every action is judged by its intention. We said from an aqidah perspective, this hadith is a warning against riya, against showing off. And it is a emphasis on ikhlas, on having sincere intentions in everything that we do. And from a fiqh perspective, this hadith has many implications. That for every action we do, we must know what is the what is our intention behind whatever we are doing in order for that action to be rewarding. But what we spoke about last week was that same hadith from a goal-setting perspective. That many of us, when we set our goals, we set our goals with only worldly or selfish intentions. And what this hadith is teaching us, that even when it comes to our worldly goals, even when it comes to dunya, our intentions should be Islamic. Our intentions should be pleasing to Allah. Our motives and reasons should be things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. So this is the reasoning behind what we are doing. And that is the hadith that we looked at last week, the hadith on intentions. This week we're moving on to hadith number 2 in my book, and that is the hadith found in Sahih Bukhari related to the importance of earning your own income. Now this is again something that many people are not aware of. There is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, so it's without a doubt authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the virtue and the importance of Muslims earning their own income. Right? Now, before I narrate the hadith, let's do a little bit of background about this hadith. What happened? There was a man in Medina who was asking people for money. Today we would say he was begging. He was asking people for money. And so he was taught to work and to earn instead. And Rasulullah ﷺ took this as an opportunity to teach people a life lesson, one that all of us will follow and apply inshallah until we leave this world. What is that lesson? The Prophet ﷺ stated, "By him in whose hand is my life," meaning by Allah, "by him in whose hand is my life, it is better for each and every one of you to take a rope and to cut wood from the forest and to carry it over his back and sell it as a means of earning his living than to ask someone for something and that person may or may not give it to him." Now, this hadith, the primary place where you will find it and study it is with regards to the fiqh of stealing, or rather the fiqh of begging. There are many people, they beg, and this hadith is a refutation against them. But there's another side to this hadith as well, right? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, he is emphasizing trade. He's emphasizing earning your own income. He's emphasizing being independent of the people and not relying on the people for handouts. So let's go firstly with what is the general meaning of this hadith and the general implication of this hadith before we look deeper into this aspect of earning your own income in Islam and what does Islam teach about it. So the general meaning of this hadith is that as Muslims, it is haram to beg. Now that's the most basic meaning of this hadith. This hadith is the strongest evidence, or one of the strongest evidence, that begging is haram. It is prohibited. Why is begging prohibited? It is prohibited because it is indignified. It is a means of creating laziness in your life. It is a means of making yourself weak. If you have an entire ummah of beggars, then the ummah becomes weak. The ummah becomes helpless. The ummah becomes relying on everybody else for help. And Allah does not want that of us. Allah wants us to be in charge. Allah wants us to be Khalifatul Ard, the inheritors of this earth. Allah wants us to be the leaders. Allah wants us to be the hand that gives, not the hand that receives. And we can't do that if we are begging. So, brothers and sisters, understand that begging is prohibited in Islam. Now, you may think, but I don't beg, so how does this apply to me? Well, begging takes different forms, right? Begging takes different forms. If you ask someone to lend you 200,000 rand so that you can buy yourself a nice car, or even worse, you ask them to lend you 1 million rand so you can buy yourself a 1 million rand car, that in Islam is really a form of begging. Why? Do you need that 1 million rand car? No. You could do quite well. You can survive with a 60,000 rand car. Why did you buy it? You bought it because you like it. Did you buy it with your own money? No. You ask somebody to lend you the money to buy something that you didn't need that is extravagant. And you are now locked in for the next 8 to 10 years paying that person back the money for your extravagance. Now, I want you to think about that. Is that not begging? When you walk up to someone or a bank or whoever it is and say, "Please give me money to buy a car," is that not begging? You are asking someone for money to buy something. Now, if it's a necessity, right, taking a loan in Islam, as long as there's no riba involved, there's no interest involved, taking a loan in Islam is halal, right? But when it's not a necessity, you are taking a loan because you want to be materialistic. You want to show off. You want people to look up to you at what fancy car you drive, what fancy house you're living, even though you don't technically own it and you can't afford it. That becomes a problem. That goes against the teachings of Islam. Rather, what Islam teaches us is to work hard, to work smart, to build up your sources of income, and to purchase what you want and need in the halal way, cash. Don't be enslaved to others. Don't be enslaved to the banks. Don't be locked in to credit and debt and all of these things for the rest of your life. No. Work hard, earn well, and use that money to fund your life, and more importantly, to take care of others as well. So the most basic meaning of this hadith is that it is prohibited to beg. And from there we say as well, be careful when it comes to taking loans, that you only take loans which are free from riba, and you only take it when it's the utmost necessity for something that you really need. I mean, if you had to borrow money to buy a second-hand car because you don't have a car at all, that is halal, that is acceptable, that is understandable. But if you had to borrow money to purchase a very expensive brand new car, that is extravagance. That is something which is against the teachings of Islam. Rather, you buy what you can afford and you build up your money and then you buy what you want cash. You don't borrow other people's money to buy fancy things just because you want something that is fancy. So the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, it is better for you to chop and sell firewood than to ask someone for something. Right, so let's look in this context. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, right, why is he talking about firewood? Why is he talking about chopping wood and selling? Because that was considered in those days like one of the lowest jobs you could have. People in those days were farmers, they were traders, they were businessmen, they were teachers, right? They were the doctors. But from all of these different professions, the most lowliest profession would be the guy who chops the wood and sells it. And the Prophet ﷺ was saying, even that is more noble in the sight of Allah than asking someone for money. So what does that mean? It means it is more noble. Allah loves more that person who is earning a halal income to no matter how low you think his job is. But if he's earning a halal income and providing for his family from that income, he is more honorable in the sight of Allah than that person who is spending a lot of money. And he is spending money that he doesn't own. He's asking people for money. And he's living this lavish lifestyle, but he's owing everybody money. That person is not honorable in the sight of Allah. So honor in Islam comes from working hard. And this hadith also teaches us that in Islam, there's no such thing as a lowly job. Because if you are working hard to earn halal money, it doesn't matter what other people think of your profession. Allah is pleased with you that you chose to work, you chose to work hard, you chose to make halal money instead of choosing to beg and to ask other people for money. So there's no such thing in Islam as a low job. Rather, any halal source of income is better than begging. So we need to take a break now. When we return, we'll continue explaining this hadith and its relationship to the importance of earning your own income. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this break.
Radio Al Ansar, the only Muslim community radio station in KZN.
Calling all cancer patients. If you are currently undergoing treatment or in remission, join the Al Ansar Cancer Support Group, a community-based group for women that provides information and support which will help and guide you through your journey. Come and join the warmth and support at our meetings held at the Al Ansar Hall on the second Saturday of each month from 9:30 to 12. For more information, please contact Zora Ilyas on 031-577-254 or alternately 083-786-0595.
Join Nazreen Ibrahim every Thursday evening, 7 to 8 p.m., when she gets all kinds of businesses into the studio to talk about the challenges of building a successful business. That's 7 to 8 p.m. every Thursday evening to catch up on your weekly business lessons with Nazreen Ibrahim. Need an iman booster? MuslimCentralAudio.com has over 60 inspiring speakers and 50 reciters from around the world. That's over 6,000 lectures and 50 complete Quran recitations with new content uploaded regularly. Easily subscribe via emails, iTunes, podcasts, or over 100 Apple and Android apps. Our podcasts are accessible from most tablets and smartphones. Over 500,000 downloads per month. Be inspired and give your iman the boost it needs, inshallah. Visit www.MuslimCentralAudio.com. That's MuslimCentralAudio.com.
Hey kids, had a long day? Want to hear some interesting stories?
Come on, take your seat.
What about some cool machine? Aisha. Maybe send a message to your loved ones or stand a chance to win some prizes. Then, join Munira Mohammed every Monday to Thursday on Kids Zone from 3 to 3:30 p.m. See you there.
Glenwood, 90.4 FM.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to Living Islam on Radio Al Ansar. I am your host Ismail Kamda, and we are talking about the hadith on the importance of earning a halal income, the importance of earning your own money instead of asking other people to give you money. And yes, this hadith is against begging, it's against asking for loans, it's against relying on others to provide for you. This hadith is teaching you that there's no such thing as a lowly job. Anything you do to earn a halal income, it is honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, by him in whose hands is my life, it is better for any one of you to take a rope and to cut firewood from the forest and carry it over his back and sell it as a means of earning his living than to ask people for something and that person may or may not give it to you. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, he is discouraging asking people for money. In fact, he is discouraging asking people for anything. And he's encouraging business and trade instead. And when we look at the lives of the early Muslims, this was their lifestyle. They were not the type of people to ask for money. They would feel very bad to even ask someone for the smallest of things. It is narrated that amongst the Sahaba, there were some who were such that even if they were riding on their camel and their stick or whip fell down, they would rather get off the camel and pick it up themselves than ask somebody to help them with that. Why? Because Islam teaches you not to be dependent on others, not to be such that others provide for you. Rather that you work hard, you are honorable, you are independent or interdependent, you are a productive means of society, that you are the hand that gives and not the hand that receives, that you are the one who is doing your best to provide halal for your family and not asking others for money instead. And so this is something noble in Islam. And this is again something that many people don't realize. Islam is a religion that encourages trade. It encourages business. It encourages building up income. It's not a religion that's against money. It's not a religion that's against trade. Rather, we know, and we spoke about this many times over the past year, that from the five fundamentals that Islam came to protect is the preservation of the private ownership of wealth. That Islam came to protect the religion itself, human life, human intellect, families, and private ownership of wealth. Every law of Islam fits into one of these five categories. And so Islam is very strict about the fact that people have the right to wealth ownership with the condition that they pay zakah and they help the poor. Now, why does Islam put emphasis on trade and business? Because Islam, again, Islam wants us to be people who have, dignity and honor. People who are helping the poor. People who are assisting the community. People who are playing a role in developing society. Islam wants the Muslim countries to be the world leaders because Islam recognizes that those communities that have economic power, they have political power. And if the Muslims have economic and political power, their dawah will be far stronger. And so my brothers and sisters, we need to get out of this mindset that some people have, where they believe that Islam encourages begging and Islam encourages being poor. That's not what Islam teaches. Rather, we know from amongst the Sahaba, Abu Bakr and Umar and Usman and Muawiyah and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Khadija bint Khuwaylid and so many others were business people. They were businessmen and businesswomen, and their wealth funded this ummah. Their wealth funded the dawah. Their wealth helped the ummah develop into a world-leading society. That's where we need to get again. But to get there, we have to change our mindset. We need to bring our mindset in accordance to this hadith that it is better for you to do any sort of halal work than to ask people for money. And we've become a generation that asks. People rely on their parents, they rely on inheritance, they rely on bank loans, they rely on their credit cards, they rely on everything except their own hard work. There are people who are 25 or 30 and they haven't been able to hold down a proper job because they're too lazy to do so, because they rather be dependent on others than earning their own wealth. And then they wonder, why is the ummah in the state that it is? Because we are lazy. If you are lazy, you're not going to be given power by Allah. You're not going to be given authority by Allah because you don't deserve it. Allah is only going to give wealth and give authority and give influence to those people who work hard, to those people who are sincere, to those people who are going to use it for good. And sadly, amongst us today, there are very few people working in that direction. So understand, brothers and sisters, that Islam is a religion that encourages business. It encourages trade. It encourages working. It encourages getting up in the morning and going out there and earning your income and knowing that you did everything possible to support your family. After that, you put your tawakkul in Allah. Tawakkul is not about sitting back and expecting money to fall into your lap. No, tawakkul is about working hard. That you get out there and you work hard. And then you leave the results to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is tawakkul. And so this is something that needs to change in our minds. Let us open up to this idea that Islam, as long as your business is halal, Islam encourages it. In fact, if your business, if you're doing it with the right intentions, it becomes ibadah. If you are earning a halal income to provide for your family, so y'all can do dawah and y'all can worship Allah and y'all can help the poor, that business itself becomes a source of ibadah for you. It becomes a source of reward for you because you are doing it with noble intentions. So, this is the importance of business in Islam. The next topic that we want to discuss related to this hadith is what are the basic fundamental principles related to business in Islam? Right, we said that Islam encourages trade, Islam encourages working hard, Islam encourages us to do our best and to earn halal income, right? So, what are the basic fundamentals or the basic etiquettes of Islamic business, of business for Muslims? Well, number one, and most obviously, your business must be halal. This is, without doubt, the most important aspect. And I am very sad to say this, but you know, when I look around today, when I visit people's businesses, it is so sad to see people who even though they pray five times a day and they take every other aspect of Islam seriously, they are selling haram things in their shop and they don't seem to care about it. Understand this, brothers and sisters. If your source of income is haram, then whatever you purchase with it is also haram. And therefore, if you are buying halal meat with haram money, that meat is haram. Now, I want you to think about this. Even if you're praying five times a day, but if your source of income is haram, and you are nourishing your wife and children with haram money, and they are being raised on that haram money, Allah is not going to answer your du'as. That's number one. Because this is something that's clear in the hadith. Allah does not answer the du'as of those whose income and wealth and food is haram. Allah does not answer their du'as. So that's number one. Allah is not going to answer your du'as. Number two, will there be barakah in your home? No, they won't. Can you expect your children to become righteous Muslims? Maybe, maybe not. But it's a 50-50 chance. But unlikely because they are being nourished by haram. So understand this, in Islam, earning a halal income is a priority. It is right up there with amongst the fundamentals of our religion. Right? It is right up there. After the five pillars of Islam, we would say that earning a halal income is one of the most important parts of Islam. Even though many people today do not take it seriously. Understand, brothers and sisters, on the day of judgment, one of the first things that Allah will ask you about is your wealth. How did you earn it? How did you spend it? Allah is going to ask you these two questions. How did you earn it? How did you spend it? He's not going to ask you how much did you make. He's not going to ask to see your bank balance. He's going to ask you only how did you earn it and how did you spend it. If you earned halal and you spend it halal, you're fine. If you earned haram, you're in big trouble. So understand this much, brothers and sisters. This is a very serious issue. And I'm emphasizing this point because in reality, this is a part of our religion that too many people brush aside. Because it is so easy to make money the haram way, and because our tawakkul is so weak, we push aside the halal and we focus on haram. And we forget that money comes from Allah, it doesn't come from our business. If you choose to run a halal business instead of a haram business, not only will you still make money, but there will be barakah in that money as well. So we need to understand this. We need to have this strong tawheed when it comes to even our business. That we have this firm belief that Allah is khayrul raziqeen. He is the best of providers. He is our razaq. He is the one who provides for us. Not our sales from these harmful items. Not our sales from these haram items. Not from our riba based loans. This doesn't provide for you. This is providing for you Jahannam. That's what he's providing for you. Rather, true, halal, barakah-filled sustenance comes from earning a halal income. So this, brothers and sisters, is something that all of us need to take seriously. Every single man and woman, ask yourself right now, is my money halal? And if not, you need to sort it out today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Sort it out today. Find a way to shift away from haram money to halal money. And I guarantee you, you will see a change in your life. You will experience peace. You will experience barakah. You will experience your du'as being answered because you chose halal over haram, even though it was less, because of your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something every single one of us must do. So we need to take another break now. When we return, we'll continue explaining this hadith on the importance of earning your own income. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break.
Hawick 105.6 FM.
It's once again the season of giving. Radio Al Ansar's Enable the Disabled campaign kicks off again. Radio Al Ansar, in conjunction with the Foot Focus Company, the World Mammon Organization, Jamaatun Nisa, and other generous donors, launched the wheelchair campaign. If you need a wheelchair or any other aid, then call Radio Al Ansar for a motivation form, and the rest is our responsibility. Call 031-208-1601. The Foot Focus Company, World Mammon Organization, Jamaatun Nisa, and other generous donors, wheelchair campaign. Another Al Ansar initiative.
Assalamu alaikum. Kick off with me, Buddy Governor, every Saturday afternoon, 3:30 to 5 p.m. on Radio Al Ansar's premier sports show. I will bring you the latest in global and local sports news, results and previews,
healthy lifestyle and sustainable fitness trends for all,
martial arts and self-defense. So make a date to kick off with me, Buddy Governor, every Saturday afternoon, 3:30 to 5 p.m. on Radio Al Ansar.
Radio Al Ansar and Pietermaritzburg Muslim Women's Organization are launching the Enable the Disabled campaign in the Pietermaritzburg region. If you reside in the Pietermaritzburg or Midlands area and require a disability aid, give us a call on 033-387-5393 between 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. or email on pmb.m.w.org@gmail.com for an application, and the rest is our responsibility. A joint initiative of Pietermaritzburg Muslim Women's Organization and Radio Al Ansar. We now have wheelchairs for non-zakat applicants.
Do you know how to articulate the message of Islam? Do you have the power of dawah? Do you know that this is a command from Allah to you? How would you feel when someone is deprived from the message of Islam just because you did nothing about it? Tune in every Saturday night live at 8:30 p.m. till late with Shabir Basha to hear the dynamic du'at of the dawah world, discussing Islam that is most important to you. That's Dawah Dynamics, exclusive to Radio Al Ansar.
Al Ansar, promoting the Islamic worldview in this part of Africa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to Radio Al Ansar. This is Living Islam, and I'm your host Ismail Kamda. We're talking about earning in Islam. The hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that it is better for you to take a rope and to cut wood and to carry it on your back and to sell it than to ask people for money. So we're talking about the importance of business in Islam. Islam is a religion that encourages trade, it encourages business, it encourages earning, so we can be independent, we can be people of authority, we can be those who give, those who share, those who contribute to society, and not those who beg and those who ask and those who rely on others. So this is a very important part of our religion. Now, before we went for the break, we were talking about what are the fundamentals in Islam when it comes to business. And we said number one, and we spoke about this in details, the business must be halal. Whatever you choose as your source of income, it must be halal. And this is something that we have really, you know, basically many people don't even think about it. You know, they just take whatever job pays the highest salary. They don't think about, is this job halal or haram? Is this pleasing to Allah? Is this money blessed by Allah? You know, when Allah asked me on the Day of Judgment, how did I earn my income? Will I have a good answer? Many people don't think about this. And as a Muslim, this should be your number one thought. That is it halal? So, for your business to be halal, there are a few fundamental principles to keep in mind, right? And I'm going to mention just five of them, because these are the five most important ways in which people end up earning a haram income through what would have been a halal business. Meaning, sometimes a business idea in of itself may be halal, but the way that you do it, the way you carry on with it, the way that you completed it, ended up including some haram means. So what are these things that can make your business or your job haram? Number one is that for a business to be halal, it must not be harmful. It must not cause harm to society. And this is why I firmly believe, this is my strict opinion, I firmly believe this, that selling cigarettes is haram. I believe this, that selling cigarettes is haram. Why? Because it doesn't bring any good. It only harms people. Those people buying it from you, they're going to get cancer from that. They're going to die from that. Right? They're going to get sick through that. Their lungs are going to get buggered up from that. You are making money off people killing themselves. That's what you're doing. And so therefore, this is something which I am 100% about in terms of my personal fiqh opinion, that I believe that selling cigarettes is haram because it is harmful. It's not the only harmful thing you can sell. You know, if you have filthy magazines in your shop, that's harming people psychologically, that's harming marriages, that's harming the modesty and morality of society. If you are selling things that assist people in committing zina, you are harming society. So this is something you need to think about. Look at the products in your shop. Look at the services that you offer people. Look at the business that you work for. Is it contributing to society or harming it? And harm in Islam is not just physical harm, like in the case of the cigarette. It's spiritual and moral harm too, like in the case of pornographic materials and, you know, these kind of things. So one has to look very carefully that what am I doing? If it's beneficial to society, alhamdulillah. If it's harmful in any way, you need to change your source of income. The second thing to look at, the second way in which your business can become haram, is if you are oppressing anybody. If there's any zulm that is committed through your business. And this is something that requires some serious introspection. Many people don't think about this. Many people, they don't realize when they're oppressing others. So for example, if you overwork and underpay your employees, there can be no barakah from such earnings. Understand that Allah takes the side of the oppressed. So if someone is working for you, pay them well and treat them well. Because Allah looks at all of this. So this is another way in which a business which may have been halal, but it becomes a source of sin for the individual if they are oppressing someone through the business. This is something that's very serious. Do not oppress anybody, not your customers, not your employees, anyone at all. Your business should be one that is known for justice. That the people working there should know that if something goes wrong, justice will be done. There's no favoritism. There's no nepotism. There's no bias involved. It is just. And I know this is hard to do sometimes, but this is the way to earn Allah's blessings, through justice, not through doing whatever you want. So beware of oppression. Sometimes it comes in the smallest of forms. You don't even realize that you're being unjust to someone. For example, if two people applied for a job, and one of them was very qualified, very experienced, he would have done an excellent job and really turned your business around. The other person is your son, and he's got no qualifications, no experience, and he's lazy. For you to give your son that job instead of giving it to the other person, that is unjust. That is un-Islamic. That is nepotism. That is something which Allah will be upset with, Allah will be angry with, and at the same time you are harming your own business. By choosing the lesser candidate, you are harming your own business. But you are blinded by nepotism. You are blinded by this love of family. So beware of this. Sometimes oppression comes in the most subtlest of ways that we don't even realize. A third way in which a business can become haram is if you cheat. If you cheat. And this again is something that many people take lightly. You know, it starts off very young. When you're kids and you're playing games and one guy cheats on the other, everyone laughs about it. It's a joke. But what we don't realize is by doing so, we are building within ourselves a lifestyle or a habit of cheating. So it starts off as cheating in games. When you become a bit older, you're cheating in your exams, and when you get even older, you're cheating at work. And this is something that's a major sin. This is a huge problem in Islam for Muslims. That if you are earning money in a way that you are cheating, whether it's lying on your CV, whether it's cheating on your exams to pass that to get your qualifications, whether it's deceiving people about how much work you actually did, all of this is prohibited in Islam. One has to be just, one has to fear Allah, one has to hold oneself accountable and do things in the right way. There is no room in Islam for cheating. And along with cheating, number four is bribery. Again, very common in our society. Bribery and corruption. You know, and the sad thing is many of the people that complain about bribery and corruption at a government level don't even think twice about bribery on an individual level. And remember, the Prophet ﷺ stated that Allah will appoint leaders over us that we are worthy of. Meaning that if we are just people, Allah will reward the society with a just leader. But if we are people who are involved with bribery and corruption, then, you know, what else do you expect from your leaders? And so, as individuals, if we want to see change in society, the change starts from us. We need to be the ones against bribery. We need to be the ones against corruption. We have to be the ones against cheating, against oppression, against harm. If every one of us does this, then this will have a ripple effect in society. And from amongst us, there will rise up leaders who have good qualities. So beware of this, of cheating. Beware of bribery. Don't get involved in these things. Another way in which your business can become haram is through deception. And there's a hadith about this, that there was a man in Medina who was selling some vegetables, and he had hidden underneath the good ones the bad ones. So people buying from him, they'll just see the good ones and they will just buy, right? He was actually hiding the bad fruit so that people wouldn't see it, and he would hope they buy it without noticing that it was going off. And unfortunately, I've seen this with many Muslim businesses in our own community. Right, and what happened? Rasulullah, he walked up to this man and he exposed what he was doing. That underneath the bad, there was underneath the good, there was the bad. And he stated, "Man ghassana falaysa minna." Whoever deceives us in business is not one of us. This is a very strongly worded hadith. He didn't say deception is haram. He didn't say deception is a minor sin. He didn't say deception is a bad thing. He said, whoever deceives us is not one of us. Meaning you're not a real Muslim if you're deceiving people. This is like the most strongest warning about something being haram. To say that you're not one of us, you're not one of the Muslims for doing it. It doesn't literally mean you're not a Muslim, but it means it's not something a believer would ever do. Yet how many of us do this? We lie, we deceive. And I mean, you know, just to give you an example of where people deceive and lie without even thinking twice about it. How many people advertise an event and say that, you know, tickets are running out and we're almost sold out and, you know, we're running out of seats. Well, in reality, they only sold two or three tickets. And they sell this, you know, to create urgency and to get people to buy quickly. In reality, they're deceiving people. They're deceiving people by saying that tickets are running out fast, because this is a lie, right? Or how many times do you hear people deceiving the community with, promises that if you do this, then we'll do that. If you give us this, then we'll give you that. How many times do our businesses sell shoddy products, promising you that it's a great product, you know, and it's going to do this, and it's going to do that. And they know that it's going to break down 1 month after the warranty expires. But they don't care. They only care about the money. This is what happens when you worship money. So beware of all of this. These are the many ways in which a business can become haram. Through harming people, through oppression, through cheating, through bribery, and through deception. And if you add number six, one of the most common ones in the Muslim world, in the whole world today, and that is riba, interest, which of course it's impossible to escape it 100% in modern society. That doesn't mean you adopt a defeatist attitude and just jump into it. No, you do whatever you can to stay away from it. You try your best and Allah forgives the rest. You don't just, you know, dive into it and say everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it as well. Riba in Islam is a major sin. It's right up there with murder and stealing. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing in the sight of Allah. So we've got to do everything in our power to stay away from it as much as possible. You know, when I hear Muslims lending money with interest, it scares me. It shakes me. How can someone who believes in Allah actually charge interest? It's one thing where the banks are charging it. They don't believe in Allah. They don't fear Allah. But you, a Muslim, a believer, and you want to charge people riba, you want to wage war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed you with so much money, fear Allah and stay away from this completely. So we need to take our final break now. And when we return, we will conclude with our explanation of this hadith on the importance of earning your own income in Islam. Don't go away, we'll be right back after this break.
Copesville, 105.6 FM.
Children are a great blessing from Allah. With their tender hearts, children can be molded into righteous people only with a positive and tender approach. Ibn Masud is a school for special need learners situated at 133 Essendean Road, Sydenham. Sponsor a learner for just 40,000 Rand per annum or 3,350 Rand per month. This will enable the learners to get the required therapy to improve his or her overall skills. Call Soda Unawera on 031-208-1601 for more information. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrated, "I never saw anyone who was more compassionate towards children than Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam."
Living Islam. Join Mawlana Ismail Kamda every Tuesday, 9:15 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. on Living Islam, only on Radio Al-Ansar.
Al Baraka's transactional banking account is the only transactional account you will ever need, offering you free point-of-sale transactions and free internet banking subscriptions. We also cater for your business needs with additional security levels. And for your convenience, we offer a checkbook facility. For more information on the Al Baraka transactional banking account, contact your nearest Al Baraka branch or customer services on 0860-225-786. Al Baraka, your partner bank. Al Baraka Bank is an authorized financial services and credit provider.
Rising costs are making it increasingly difficult for those who are less fortunate. All through the year, adults and children from underprivileged backgrounds require diapers. Each month, 3,500 diapers are distributed to the needy.
Allah, Allah, you are my all.
Help us help them this 2015. We hope to step up the diaper drive. Together with your assistance, we can make a difference. Diapers for both adults and children are needed in sizes S, M, L and XL. Drop off all diapers at 189 West Road in Overport. And for further information, you can contact Sister Fatima Dowji on 031-208-1601 or you can contact me, Sister Aisha Jamal, on 084-304-1683. The Diaper Drive Challenge on Yedl and Sal.
Suleiman's Sumptuous Savories. Opening specials. Samosas. Unfried. Mince, chicken, potato and tinfish. 20 Rand per dozen. Fried. Mince and chicken. 3 Rands each. Potato and tinfish. 2 Rand 50 each. Spring rolls. 4 Rand each. Bhajias. 1 Rand each. And coming soon. Rotis, mini pizzas and pies. Crispy, spicy and hot. Visit us at 52 Todd Street, Verulam. Or call 0786-299-491. We also do platters for all occasions.
Glenwood, 90.4 FM.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to Living Islam on Radio Al Ansar. I am your host Ismail Kamda, and we are talking about the hadith on the virtue of earning your own money. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "By him in whose hand is my life, it is better for any one of you to take a rope and to cut wood from the forest and to carry it over his back and sell it as a means of earning his living than to ask someone for money or for something and that person may or may not give it to him." Very important hadith. Primarily, this hadith is a strong prohibition against begging and asking people for money, and this kind of behavior, relying on others, being dependent on others. Rather, the hadith is emphasizing business and trade. And we spoke, throughout this episode about the importance of earning halal money, making sure that your source of income is not harmful, it's not oppressive, it's not cheating, it's not deceptive, it's not involved with riba, there's no involvement in bribery. You make sure that you're running a clean-cut business that is pleasing to Allah. And what we want to speak about now for the final segment of the program is just some of the fundamentals of wealth ownership in Islam. What does Islam actually teach us about wealth ownership? We know that in Islam, wealth ownership is not only allowed, but it is actually protected by the law of the religion. That from amongst the five fundamental, what's called the zururiyat, the five necessities of life that Islam protects is the ownership of wealth, right? But again, it's not just allowed, but in Islam, it's allowed with responsibilities. Meaning, this is where Islam differs from capitalism. That in capitalism, you can earn how much money you want and it's yours to do whatever you want with. That's not what Islam teaches. Islam says you can earn how much money you want, but the more money you earn, the more responsibilities you have towards society. This is the big difference between the two. That Islam says, yes, earn how much you want and own how much you want and become a millionaire. Oh, that's fine, but the more you own, the more responsibilities you have towards society. Right, the most fundamental of those responsibilities is zakah. That 2.5% of your wealth and property, you need to pay zakah on it. And of course, the more you own, the more higher your zakah is going to be every year. So this is something that Islam emphasizes. And it's not just zakah. A zakah is the fundamental. It's the minimum. The minimum that you need to be giving back to society is your zakah. Beyond that, Islam encourages sadaqah. It encourages helping your family, encourages helping your neighbors, helping the orphans, helping the widows, helping the poor, helping the dawah, helping all of that. So in reality, in Islam, your wealth is not yours to do whatever you want with. You can earn it, you can build it up, you can buy a nice house, you can buy a nice car. At the same time, you have to give back to society. You have to help others earn their way up as well. And so what this does is it creates an economy where the wealth is not circulating amongst the rich only. That's Allah's words in the Quran, a translation of Allah's words. Allah says in the Quran, when speaking about the purpose of charity, He says, so that wealth does not circulate amongst the wealthy only. Very powerful. Right? And you know, we look at the Western society over the past 100 years, how they've been struggling to find an economic model that works. You know, communism failed by not giving people wealth ownership, so it discouraged people from really having any motivation to work. It became a failure. And on the other hand, capitalism failed in the sense that it created the 99% and the 1%. That you've got some people owning so much money that if they just shared a small percentage with the rest of the world, they could solve world poverty. But because of capitalism, you know, there's this major unbalance in the world. And so, you know, the West have been struggling to figure out, you know, how do we create an economic system that brings about balance? Islam brought it 1,400 years ago. An early Muslim society followed it to such an extent that in the early years, in the early centuries of Islam, Africa was a wealthy continent. Those parts of Africa that were ruled by the Muslims was a wealthy land. And you wouldn't be able to find someone who was able to receive your zakah because people were so wealthy in that land. How did that happen? While today under capitalism, so many African countries are in poverty. It's because of the difference between the two systems. Islam encourages trade and encourages building your wealth. At the same time, it promotes giving back to society and helping others build as well. So what happens? You do business, you increase in wealth. Right? You share that wealth with somebody else, they use it to do business, they increase in wealth. They share that wealth with somebody else, that person does business, they increase in wealth. What's happening? The entire society is growing. Not just you, but you're taking the rest of society with you. And what happens then is over time, we create over a generation or two, a city or a country or an area where there is no poverty. Where everybody is helping each other out. Where nobody has to beg, nobody has to steal, nobody has to ask for money, because the economy is stimulating itself. This is the most powerful economic system in the world. Allah revealed it to us 1,400 years ago, yet we Muslims have abandoned it for capitalism. And as a result, our society is in the state it is today. That we have the ultra wealthy who are only spending it lavishly on weddings and things which are not going to benefit anyone. And we have the ultra poor and nobody's taking care of them. May Allah protect us and forgive us and guide us back to spending our wealth in ways that is pleasing to Him. So this is the major issue. Islam allows wealth ownership, but with it comes responsibility. The responsibility towards society. If we take that responsibility seriously, we can provide for society, we can rebuild society, we can make this world a better place. Now, the other issues that come with wealth ownership in Islam is accountability, right? Besides responsibility, the other is accountability. These are the two things that Islam will hold you accountable for when it comes to your wealth. That how you earned it and how you spent it. So accountability along with responsibility. Again, it's not just a free-for-all market like capitalism, where you can do whatever you want and earn whatever you want and spend it however you want. No. You are accountable for how you earn it, how you spend it, and you are responsible for providing for society. So what does it mean by being accountable for how you earn it? This means, again, very simply, that your source of income must be halal. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah will ask you about all of your wealth, how did you get it? You must be able to show that I earned it in a halal way. Simple as that. No cheating, no crime, no corruption, no deception, no bribery, no oppression, no haram business, no riba, halal income. That's what you're going to be asked about, right? So that's the simple. It's not easy, but it's simple in terms of understanding what is meant by the sentence, right? That you'll be asked about how you earned your wealth. But what's meant by you'll be asked about how you spend your wealth? That might be a bit unclear to some of our listeners. Now, what that basically means is that in Islam, it's not for you to spend your money however you want. Rather, you need to be balanced in your spending, right? The Quran describes the true Muslims as those who are not extravagant, nor they are miserly, but they find a middle path in between. This is a very important description in the Quran, that the believers, when it comes to their wealth, they are not extravagant, neither are they miserly, but they find a middle path. Meaning what? In Islam, when you own money, you are not allowed to have israf, to be extravagant. At the same time, you're not allowed to have bukhl, to be miserly. Rather, you need to be balanced. That is, you save money, you spend some on halal things, you give some to charity. We know there's a famous story of a man who would invest one third back into his business, spend one third on his family, and give one third to charity. Right, so this is exactly trying to find that balance between saving, spending, and serving the community. And this is what Islam teaches, that your wealth is not just all about you. You need to find ways to give back to society. You need to make sure that you are spending, but you're not spending every single cent, but you have some savings aside for when you need it in future, and to help someone else in future, or to help your own family and your own self in future. So Islam tells us to have a balanced approach to wealth. Don't mise and just save everything, nor be extravagant and just spend everything. But find the middle path. And Allah will ask you on the Day of Judgment, what did you buy? Why did you buy it? This is something serious for us to consider. Now, many people, where Allah blesses them with wealth, they spend that wealth on things which are completely haram. You know, they go absolutely insane in purchasing services which, you know, we can't even speak about on air. But, you know, and these things, you'll be answerable to Allah for it. That Allah gave you money, what did you do with it? If you spend it on things which are unspeakable, things which are haram, you're going to be in big trouble. So, brothers and sisters, this is the issue of earning wealth in Islam. It is a major issue. And, of course, when it comes to living Islam, we're talking about every aspect of life, and today we're talking about business, right? That our business must be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our business must be run in a way that is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that Islam encourages you, earn your own money. Don't ask, don't beg, don't borrow, but earn. Work hard. That is what Islam encourages. At the same time, it must be halal. And there must be moderation in how we spend it. So, this is a very important hadith. It's something that many of us need to consider. If you are someone who's used to being dependent on others, try to find a way to earn halal income. If you're someone who's running a business which has haram aspects, you need to reform it and bring it in keeping with the teachings of Islam. If you are someone who is miserly, you need to learn to spend a bit more on your family and on society. If you're someone who is extravagant, you need to learn to save a bit. These are all different dimensions of how this hadith affects our lives. Now, next week, we will look at hadith number 3 from my book. And again, for those of you who just joined us, we are explaining the hadiths from my free book, 10 Self-Help Tips from 10 Authentic Hadiths, which you can get from my website, IslamicSelfHelp.com. If you open the website, at the very top of the menu, you will see the tab Free Ebook. You click on that, you download it, and you follow along from there. Today, we discussed hadith number 2, which is the hadith on earning your own income. Next week, we will discuss hadith number 3 from this book. And hadith number 3 is focusing on the importance of benefiting society. That as Muslims, it's not just about us, it's not just about the individual, it's about society, it's about giving back to society, it's about benefiting others. So this is something that is very serious that we need to focus on. And next week we'll talk about the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ stated that the most beneficial or the best of you are those who are most beneficial to society. Very powerful hadith. The best of you are those who are most beneficial to society. خَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَأَكُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of you are those who are most beneficial to mankind. And really this hadith, the first time I heard it, it really hit me. And it became a hadith around which I base my life and I try my best to live accordingly. Everything we do, every project we run, every business opportunity we start up, every radio program, every article we write, every book we write, we try to make sure everything is beneficial to society. And so I hope you too, in every aspect of your life, from how you run your business to how you deal with your family to whatever you do on the sidelines, it's something that's beneficial to society. We will discuss this hadith in details next week. Our time is up for this week. And again, next week we'll talk about hadith 3 from my book, which is the hadith, خَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَأَكُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of you are those of you who are most beneficial to humanity. So that's it for this week. This is Ismail Kamda signing off for Radio Al Ansar with Living Islam. I will see you next week, same time, Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. for Living Islam. Jazakallah khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright.